Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 435. I hope you all are well. Any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, sponsorships, please email rabbiismach@take10fortorah.org. So today I'd like to speak about one of the very well-known parts of tefillah on a Shabbos morning, and that is when the chazan gets up to begin shachris. So he begins at the last paragraph of a much longer section known as Nishmas. Nishmas we referred to some time ago, but I want to focus on how the chazan begins, and I specifically mean how the chazan begins on Shabbos. We know that on Yom Tov, the Chazan begins a little bit earlier. We know that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Yom Narem, the Chazan begins a little bit earlier as well. As a matter of fact, the old tradition was that there were different lines, that different holidays one would begin on based on associations with the holidays on those lines. But let's refer to what happens every single Shabbos morning, Shochein Ad Marom V'Kadosh Shemo, just beginning with those words. Those are somewhat interesting words. I think I grew up on the Art Scroll Siddur, or at least the English of the Art Scroll Siddur. And so I always had it in my head, Shochein Ad Marom V'Kadosh Shemo meant as follows. As they translate it, Shochein Ad, one who abides, one who lives forever. The Shochein, the one who dwells, Ad, forever. So that refers to God's eternity. Marom V'Kadosh Shemo, exalted and holy, is his name. Okay, and then finally it says, V'kasuv, and to prove that point, Rananu Tzadikim B'Hashem, La'yisharim Navasihla. Now that's a line that we already said in Psuki de Zimra, but we say it again, and it means that Tzadikim, the righteous, will sing joyfully before Hashem, for the upright, praise is fitting. And it refers to how the righteous, how the Yesharim, those who are like the really good Jews, those who are in tune with God and how he runs the world and practice appropriately and do God's work in the world, they particularly have an angle of praise. And that'll be the rest of the paragraph, which we'll focus on in just a moment. But I just want to get back to that word, Shochein Ad. So the Art Scroll translates it as Shochein Ad, he who abides forever. But I've noticed lately in the Koren translation, there's another version of this, which makes, I think, a little bit more thoughtful. He inhabits eternity, which is an even more esoteric point. Shochein Ad, the one who dwells in Ad. Ad means like eternal, forever. So instead of Shochein Ad, the one who abides forever, the one who lives forever, it's Shochein Ad, one who inhabits eternity. To me, it's a little bit more esoteric, but perhaps more accurate. Now, this esoteric nature of how the chazan gets up and starts the davening is no accident. Rav Monk, in his Sefer on Tefillah, he says, this is the first passage in the Shabbos morning service to be recited aloud by the reader to signify that we should always conceive of God only in terms of this all-surpassing, unattainable, holy exaltation described here. So we begin with God on this incredible pedestal, this metaphysical notion of God's eternity, inhabiting eternity itself, something which is very esoteric, very difficult to wrap our head around, but that's how we begin discussing God. Perhaps then we descend to language which is more appropriate and more reachable. Rav Hirsch, in his commentary on the Siddur, says, God is near at all times to the world which is his creation, and he makes it the abode of his presence, even though, Marom V'Kadosh Shemo, we must ever be mindful of the all-surpassing sacred and unapproachable character of his majesty. So while at the same time we talk about these very esoteric and lofty ideals of Shochein Ad, of Marom V'Kadosh Shemo, we understand that God still allows us to live within his world and connect to him at the same time. So we start with this very high moment, Shochein Ad Marom V'Kadosh Shemo, we sing it out loud, and then we relate within that. And so the paragraph begins with examples of how the Tzadikim refer to God, the Yesharim refer to God, and there's 12 phrases, really 12 words over here, over the course of 4 lines. So, Befi Yesharim Tisalal, in the mouth of the upright he will be lauded. And again, I'm reading from the Ashkenazic version. Befi Yesharim Tisalal, Uvidivrei Tzadikim, in the words of the righteous, Tisbarach, he is blessed. Uvilshon, and in the mouths and the tongues of Chasidim, the devout, Tisromam, he is exalted. Uvikerev Kedoshim, Tiskadash, and in the midst of the Kedoshim, those who are holy, he will be sanctified. So, if you look at these 4 lines, there's the Befi, Uvedivrei, Uvelshon, Uvelshon, Uvekerev, those, how they articulate it, one is with the mouth, with the words, with the Lashon, and with the amidst the Kedoshim, Uvekerev, and then you have who, that's the Yesharim, Tzadikim, Chasitim, Kedoshim, and then what they do, Tishalol, Tisparach, Tisaram, Tiskadash. Now, somebody who is paying attention can realize that you could swap out different of the A, B, or C part of the phrase and put them in different orders. You could put it in different sequences. And as a matter of fact, they are put in different sequences. If you take a look at a sitter that is Nusach Svard, you will see a different version. Instead of Befi Yisharam Tisalel, it's Befi Yisharam Tisromam. Uve Sifsei Tzadikim, slightly different word. Instead of Uve Divrei, it says Uve Sifsei Tzadikim Tisbarach. Uve Lshon Chasidim Tiskadosh. Uve Kerev Kedoshim Tishalol. Now, again, it's the same idea. Same 12 words, pretty much, but they're ordered in different ways. So I wanted to talk about exactly why that might be. So already the Rishonim point out that if you look at the sequence of these words, an interesting thing is spelled out. If you look at the Ashkenazic version, you have in sequence, Yisharim, Tzadikim, Chasidim, Kedoshim. Now, simply, the reason these sentences are structured the way they are is because they have some sort of reminiscence to a verse in Navi, in Ksuvim, something in Tanakh, which usually borrows or we are borrowing from, and that Yisharim is somewhat associated with Tisalal, for example, La Yisharim Nava Sehila, which we just said a moment ago. So Yisharim are associated with Tehillah, for whatever reason, and I don't want to get into that right now, but that's where these things are created from. But what we see is something more interesting, that Yisharim Tzadikim Chasidim Kedoshim actually spell out a word, or the first letter taken from them, it's an acrostic, Yitzchak. It spells the word Yitzchak. Now, all the Rishonim point this out, that it says Yitzchak over there, and so they wonder, why would Yitzchak be referred to over here, particularly because in some versions of it, which is currently the Nusach Svard version, not only is Yitzchak spelled out, but in the center letter of the last word, Tisromam, Tisbarach, Tiskadosh, Tishalol, the second letter is Resh, Bet, Kuf, and Hey, that spells Rivka. And so we have this hidden Yitzchak, if you look downward in the acrostic, and Rivka, if you look downward in Nusach Svard, why are they here? So some point out that particularly Yitzchak doesn't belong here because Yitzchak is associated with what tefillah? The tefillah of Mincha. If we're going to put an acrostic for his name somewhere, it should be there, not here. So that is a question that some ask, and particularly why Rivka? So some think the author of the whole paragraph was Yitzchak, so he put in, not that Yitzchak, but a different Yitzchak, and he just put in his name. Or maybe his wife's name was Rivka, and so he put in her name as well, which is really nice that he did that. Now, if that's not the case, and it comes from more lofty reasons, so what could those be? So first of all, as an aside, even Ashkenazim have the Rivka version. We switch the words around in honor of Rosh Hashanah. Rivka plays an important role on Rosh Hashanah. Rivka is the aim which was Nefkedes Rosh Hashanah. She's remembered on Rosh Hashanah to have the baby, to have Yitzchak. We read about Rivka. So Rivka is particularly appropriate. Rivka is associated with Akedes Yitzchak. All of this is appropriate. So Yitzchak and Rivka make a lot of sense to highlight on Rosh Hashanah. But why would that be the case every other day of the year? So a variety of theories that are offered by Rishonim why this might be. The Ravan suggests that maybe that this tefillah was uttered by Yitzchak at the Akedah. Maybe this was their reaction. They said, Befi Yisharim Tisalel, Befi Tzadikim Tisbarach. This is what they said. Maybe they referred to God as Shochen Ad Marom V'Kadosh Shema, which again is a later pasuk in Yeshaya, but maybe that's where it originated. Maybe some suggest that it was the Avos. This was the Shir Shal Avos. And the Shir Shal Avos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they all wrote this. Why? Because it refers to Yisharim. And we know that in Bereishis, the Bereishis is called Sefer Hayasha. We've talked about this before, and then it sort of describes why the Avos are called Yisharim. They are straight, they are upright, they always did good by people irrespective of who they are. So maybe the Yisharim composed this. Why is Yitzchak and Rivka highlighted specifically? Maybe because they're the easiest, because Yitzchak and Rivka are the only couple that was a couple, right? Avraham had Sarah, and there was Hagar. Yaakov had Rachel and Leah, and Bilhah and Zilpah. But here we had a couple which was sort of maybe closer, more nuclear than the other couples before and after. They're the sandwich couple. They're in the middle. So that's why they're referred to in this tefillah of the Avos. But I wanted to conclude something that maybe we could think about. Why Yitzchak? Why Rivka? Why would they be inserted in this particular tefillah when we begin our Shabbos davening? We know that one of the things that we don't know a lot about Yitzchak and Rivka, we know they debated heavily on the different subjective qualities of their children, Yaakov and Esav. But what do we know that they did together? So we know in the beginning of Parshas Toldos, it describes how the two of them had one goal. They had the goal of having children. And so the pasuk says, Vayeta Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto. Yitzchak prays opposite his wife, ki akarahi, because she was barren. Vayeser lo Hashem v'ta Rivka ishto. And so finally, Hashem listens, and she conceives, and eventually, of course, gives birth to Yaakov and Esav. So the example that we have of tefillah, of the Avos, where they are davening together. They have a unified cause, a unified purpose, and they are in their opposite corners davening for the same beautiful thing, to have children. That becomes the symbol of us beginning our Shabbos morning davening. They are hidden in that tefillah, where we begin Shabbos morning, where we begin to specifically start towards Shabbos. I don't know why Shabbos specifically, maybe it should be every day, but because of those avos, which of course we're going to recall in Shmoneh Esrei, the avos that we refer to as when we talk about tzchus avos, the merit of our avos, this was the goal that they had in a unified way, and that should be our goal, getting into the Siddur and getting into tefillah. Have a great day.